A U.S. debt default looms, yet politicians aren't budging much.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California. Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy 4th of July. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Leaders on both sides of the debt ceiling negotiations continue to debate over the weekend. One development: on Fox News Sunday, Texas GOP Senator John Cornyn said his party would be open to a short-term deal to avoid default, which could come in less than a month. But his party will not sacrifice, he says, stringent spending cuts just to make a deal.
We're running up against this deadline, and they're going to try to present it as a fait accompli. Nobody's going to have time to read it or consider the implications of it. And he's going to say you have to pass it or the economy's going down the tubes. That's just irresponsible.
So the threat of U.S. debt default is very real, remains very real. And as Marketplace senior business correspondent Bob Moon reports, that's got investors paying close attention.
You can run, but you can't hide, not from the wide-reaching financial shockwaves that would result from a default by the United States government. So says investment fund manager Axel Merck.
Make no mistake about it. If there was a default, it is a question of the least evil, where the person that loses the least is going to be the winner.
Merck only half-jokingly suggests investors might want to stash a gold bar under the bed. Stocks would be bound to suffer, and he says shifting to a mutual or money market fund is likely to carry the risk of exposure to European debt. He suggests cash might be the least dangerous investment.
We encourage investors to do what central banks are doing, to diversify to baskets of currencies, to spread the risk across countries.
There's also the option of corporate bonds, but Merck says you still can't beat the ease of cashing out of treasuries quickly. That's why he's still in no hurry to unload his government bonds, even with the growing talk of default.
There is a great liquidity in treasuries, and even if we had to sell them if there was a panic, we are willing to take that risk.
Merck says for now, most investors are still signaling their belief someone will blink first. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Dunkin' Donuts could very well price an initial public offering as early as this week. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports, and she looks beyond the sprinkles of the deal.
Restaurant analyst Peter Soleil says investors are salivating over the Dunkin' Donuts IPO. The company's revenue grew 7% last year, and it has big plans to expand west of the Mississippi. Okay, Soleil's a little biased.
When I travel, I can't get a Dunkin', and it's irritating.
Dunkin' Donuts is one of a couple dozen companies owned by private equity to go public this year. Those companies account for 62% of IPO money raised. In contrast, venture capital-backed companies like LinkedIn and Pandora have gotten lots of attention for their public offerings, but they account for a much smaller share of IPO money raised. Kathy Smith is with Renaissance Capital.
I think it could very well be that in July, not only does America run on Dunkin' Donuts, but the IPO market may run on Dunkin' Donuts.
There's a catch, though. The company is nearly $2 billion in debt.
It's not profitable after the interest on the debt.
Smith says Dunkin' could pay down some of the debt with proceeds from the IPO, but shareholders would still have to stomach the rest. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European markets right now, mostly higher. Asian shares were up today. Japan's Nikkei topped 10,000 for the first time since April. Japanese shares have tumbled, as you know, since the earthquake and tsunami there. Here at home, the win streak continued on Wall Street. Friday, the Dow was up 168 points to end the day at 12,582. For the week, the Dow gained a whopping 5%.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
Maybe you're on the road this long holiday weekend, and even though they've been trending down lately, gas prices are still a lot higher than they were 1 year ago. That's been bad for the economy of Illinois because it's cheaper to get gas in Missouri. From St. Louis Public Radio, Adam Allington reports.
One of the cardinal rules about interstate travel through the Midwest, gas up before you hit Illinois. Illinois levies a hefty 42 cents per gallon tax on gasoline, among the highest gas taxes in the country. Compare that with Missouri, which only charges 17 cents per gallon, and you're bound to see a lot of Illinois license plates in St. Louis gas stations.
We almost never buy gas in Illinois.
Cameron Holloway lives in Illinois and drives across the Mississippi River every day to work in St. Louis. During the last oil crisis in 2008, he actually ran out of gas trying to make it to Missouri.
I always know that in Illinois it's 20 cents or so more than it is in Missouri, and so I'm always going to fill up over here.
And it's not just gasoline where Missouri undercuts its neighbor. The state also has lower taxes on beer, liquor, cigarettes, even sales tax.
This is a fall on the sword issue when it comes to state fuel taxes, state tobacco taxes.
Ron Leone heads a lobbying group for Missouri's gas stations and convenience stores. He says the lower taxes attract tens of thousands of cross-border shoppers every day.
We will do everything within our power to keep them low, to keep them reasonable.
But critics point out that cutting taxes on gas or cigarettes has never actually increased state revenues or paid for any new roads or bridges. Ralph Martiri is the director of an Illinois think tank called the Center for Tax and Budget Accountability.
All the data show that supply-side theory of public finance, it just doesn't work. So anyone who's counting on that coming through, people buying substantially more gasoline because the taxes are lower, are, I think the technical fiscal term is goofy.
Martiri says a race to the bottom in taxes may not be a successful long-term strategy. He points to studies in Illinois that show every tax dollar spent on infrastructure has actually created $1.50 in economic activity. In St. Louis, I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And finally, it may be for people over the age of 50, but the AARP still wants its members to shake their groove. So the organization last month put up a new internet music player on its website. And while more than a dozen different channels will feature different kinds of music, jazz, folk, old school R&B, it'll be heavy on the classic rock, artists such as Paul McCartney and Creedence Clearwater Revival. It's not surprising since Woodstock took place, can you believe it? 42 years ago this summer. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Happy 4th. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.